Today's shiur is in Masech Tishkolim on Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin with the Mishnah on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Yomud. Says the Mishnah, Heichen hoyu hishtachavoyos ha'elu. Our Mishnah is referring back to the first Mishnah of our Perek on Daf Tez Vav Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says there in the second line, Asor hishtachavoyos, shalosh esrei hishtachavoyos ha'elu b'megis. There were 13 bowing down, 13 places to bow down in the Migdash. And on that Mishnah, our Mishnah is elaborating, Heichen hoyu shtachavoyos ha'elu, where were these 13 different places in the Beis HaMigdash where people, when they went by, would bow down? So the Mishnah answers that they were connected the 13 gates that were in the Beis HaMigdash, and Arba B'Tzofen, four of these gates were in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash. Arba B'Dorm, four were in the southern part. Shalosh B'Mizrach, three were in the eastern part. Ubeis B'Marav, and two were in the western part. Keneged Shloisha Aser Sha'arim, and this was Keneged, the 13 different gates. Whenever a person would pass by one of those gates, he would bow down. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us the names of these various gates. Deroimiyim, the southern ones, Smuchim Lamarav, which are near the west side, in other words, the southwestern corner of the Beis HaMikdash. The first one there was Shar HaElyon. This was the Shar, the high Shar. Why was it called Shar HaElyon? Because the Beis HaMikdash is built on a hill, and the Har Abayis, and there was a raise in the Beis HaMikdash from east to west, a rise from east to west, and the higher part was on the western part. So this Shar HaElyon was the highest of the various gates. The second gate there of the group of four in that area of the Beis HaMikdash was Shar HaDelek, the Shar where the fire came through. Some Mefarshim say this refers to the Atzei Marocha, the wood that was used for the pile of wood on top of the Mizbeach, and others say that it refers to the fire. The fire was brought through that gate as well. Shar HaBechairus, the third gate over there was the Shar of the Bechairus, where the firstborn cattle were shechted on the south side, as the Taklum Chadatan says, from Achlisu Sham HaBechairois HaNishchotim Bedorim, and the fourth one was Shar HaMayim. V'loma Nikra Shmoi Shar HaMayim. Of these four gates, the one that the Mishnah elaborates on to explain the name is this last one, the Shar HaMayim. Why, in fact, was it called the Shar HaMayim? Sheboi Machnisin Sluchis Shal Nisuch HaMayim B'chag. Because each morning of Sukkot, a flask of water was brought into the courtyard, and it was poured onto one of the two bowls that were sitting on top of the Mizbeach, and this was on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and they used to bring the water through this gate, which was called Shar HaMayim, because it was the closest to the Mizbeach. Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Oimer, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says that in this Shar HaMayim, boy HaMayim Mifachim Ve'asidim Lios Yotzim Mitachas Miften HaBayis. So Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says, we'll go with the Girsa as we just said it, that there's a Vav in front of the word Ve'asidim, which the Gra understands to mean that there is water that presently comes out from the Shar HaMayim. There's a trickle of water presently from the ground of the Shar HaMayim, but also Ve'asidin Liyos Yaitz Mitachas Miftan Abayis, that in the future as well, in the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, as we will see an elaboration on this magical water that will come out from the Kodesh HaKodashim and make its way to the threshold, the Miftan of the Bayis. So this is what the Mishnah here is describing as the Shar HaMayim. However, there are those who do not have the Vav, the Asidim, and rather it's speaking about Boy hamayim mefachim asidim li yeshayotzim metachas. This trickle, mefachim means trickle, this trickle of water will come out. There isn't necessarily any water in the base of Migdash at present, during the Bayis Rishon or Bayis Sheni, but asidim, in the future, it would come out. According to the Gra, there was water trickling out even during Bayis Rishon and Sheni. That came out from the Shar Hamayim. The Asidim, and in the future, where would this water come out? From the Kodesh Kodashim, and make its way, as the Gemara will explain, through the threshold of the base Hamigdash. The Rivivan over here on the side gives us a little bit of a background of this water. Mayim mefachim asidim liyosyoitzim mibeis kotcha kodoshim kideisa biyuma perek basar omar of nachum shum rav chana tzipora mayin hayoitzim mibeis kodesha kodoshim betchil adoyim alakarni slaim. At the beginning, it's a very small trickle of water comparable to the horns that are on snails. Ach megila pesach hahechel. Once it comes to the Pesach Heichel, Nasa Kechut Shel Shesi, then it becomes as wide as the vertical thread, which is called warp. The threads of a garment have threads going down, and then there's one thread that crisscrosses the Erev, the woof. So the Erev is a little thicker than the Shesi. So at the beginning, the water will get larger and larger until it becomes like a chassis, and then it will, when it goes further, it will become as wide as a erev thread. Acha megila pesach ulam, at the ulam nasik echut shel erev. Acha megila pesach azora kefi pach kotnel, be as wide as a small flask. Kind of the snan of Lazim Yaakov Aymer. Mayim mefachim asidim liyoshyoitzim mitachas miftim abayis. What does mefachim mean? Lashon pach. So we had translated that mefachim means trickle. And according to this interpretation, it means it will become as wide as the mouth of a flask. And we will see more about this river coming from the Kodesh HaKodashim and how large it eventually will become. And we'll explain it more in the Gemara. Continues our Mishnah. Le'umasan, opposite the gates that were in the south, there were also four gates to the north. Betzofen, in the northern part of the base of Migdash. Smuchim b'marv, again close to the northwest corner. The first one was Shar Yechonya. We'll soon see why it was called Shar Yechonya. The second one was Shar HaKorban. This is the place where, as the Korban Eidah tells us, Shom Achnisim Kotshe Kadoshim Sheshchitosim Betzofen, there the Kotshe Kadoshim will be brought in, korbanis that you shecht, which have a halach of Kodesh Kodashim, they will be, are shechted in the northern part, and that was the gate through which those korbanis were brought. The next gate is Shar HaNashim. This is where the women would either, there's a machlokes whether women make smich on their korbanis or not, whether they press with all their might down on the head of the korban or not. It's a machlokes tanoim. And according to the Tana that says they do make smicha, so they would enter through that gate to make the smicha. And according to the Tana that says they do not make smicha, as we have in Machlokes in the Gemara and Masechta Chagiga, according to them, to that Tana, the women would just stand near their korban, even though they would not do smicha. And that's why it was called Shar HaNashim, where the women enter. And the fourth Shar was Shar HaShir. This was the gate where the kli shir, as the Korban Eidah says, derech sham hayu machnisim kli shir, the kli shir of the Levium were brought in through that gate. The one of the four gates that the Mishnah is going to explain is Shar Yechonya. V'lam nikra shmoi Shar Yechonya. Shebo yotza Yechonya begalusa, because that is when Yechonya, when he left to go into Golus, he went through that gate, as the Korban Eidah and the Taklin Charetin explain. That shenichnas abeis hamigdash, says the Korban Eidah, lishtachavos velitol rishus, he went into the base hamigdash to get permission, kishaholach legoil lebavel, when he went into Golus to Bavel, v'yatza derech oisei shahar, and he went out through that gate, and that's why it's called the Shar Yechonya. Continues the Mishnah, Shebe Mizrach, the gate in the west, the gates in the west were the Shar Nikner. The shard was called Nikner, Ushnei Pishpishin Hoyu Loy, and it had two smaller doors next to it. Echad Mimina, one from the right side, Echad Mismoili. These doors did not have names, and they were both associated with the Shar HaNikner. Why was this gate called Shar HaNikner? So there's a famous Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches, where the Gemara tells us that there was a righteous person called Nikner, and he went to Alexandria of Mitzrayim to buy their copper doors for the gate that was going to be at the eastern part of the Beis HaMikdash. And when he came back, he was traveling to the port city of Acre in Eretz Yisrael, and a storm threatened to capsize the ship, and the sailors decided to take these huge copper doors and to throw them into the sea. So they took one and they threw it in, and it didn't help. So they were going to take the other one, and Nikner hugged the door, and he said that if you throw that in, you have to throw me in as well. And when he made that statement, the storm subsided, and the boat made its way to Acre, and with that one door on. But Nikner had the tremendous agrus nefesh that the second door was lost. And Alpines, that second door, arrived at the same time that Nikner landed at Acre. At the same time, the door came through the water, Alpines, and landed as well. And to remember this greatness that took place from Nikner, the gate was called Shar Nikner. However, the Rosh Cirillo tells us that in the Yerushalmi in Yuma tells us a different story about Nikner, and in fact not such a complimentary one, that Nikner was in fact a Greek officer who entered the Beis HaMikdash, put his hands on the Mizbeach, and he said, when will Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash and this Mizbeach all be destroyed, that I will be able to rule over this site. And when the Hashmonaim won over the Yevonim, they grabbed a hold of this Nikner, who had been mevazeh the Beis HaMikdash. They cut off his hands and feet, and they hung him up in front of that gate, and that's why it was called Shar HaNikner, to remember that event. Continues the Mishnah, Ushnayim b'marv, there were two gates behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, one to the right and one to the left, that a person should not put his back towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but rather exit to the right and the left of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'loi ha'yulan shem, and these two gates as well did not have names. So a total in the Mishnah was 4 and 4 and 3 and 2 were a total of 13 gates. Says the Gemara Masnisin, our Mishnah, Abba Yosef ben Yochanan hi. This goes according to Abba Yosef ben Yochanan. The Omar Keneged Yud Gimel Shorim, that the 13 Ishtachavois correspond to the 13 gates in the Beis HaMikdash. Baram, however, Karabonon, according to the Rabbonon, there were only Shivashorim Hayubazor, there were only 7 gates, and therefore the Gemara asked the following question, Al Das the Rabbonon, according to the reasoning of the Rabbonon, Heichen Hayu Ishtachavois Halolu. Where were these 13 hishtachavois, these 13 bowing downs, as the Korbanada says, the kimluhu shahoyu mishtachavim yudgimu hishtachavois. There is no machlokas that when a person walked around the circumference of the Beis HaMikdash, he would in fact have to bow down 13 times. But according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yochanan, it's very good. He bowed keneged each one of the 13 gates. However, according to the Rabbanan, there were only 7 gates. So where were the 13 Ishtachavoyos? The Gemara answers, Kahidis Nina Taman. This will work out according to what we learned over there. Mishnah Midas, Perik Beis, Mishnah Gimel. Yud Gimel, Pirtzis Hoyu Boy. There were 13 places in the Sarug, the Soreg. The Soreg was a lattice work which surrounded the Beis HaMikdash. It was 10 Tvachim high, and in this lattice work, in this Soreg, the Yevonim, to defile the Beis HaMikdash, they made 13 rips in the Soreg. Shepirtzim Malchayavim, the kings of Greece made those rips in the Soreg. The Chazru V'Gadru B'nei Hashmonai, and the B'nei Hashmonai, when they were triumphant over the Malchei Yavon, they patched up those holes. And to remember that there were 13 rips in the Sorig and that they have been repaired, which indicated the victory of the Hashmonaim over the Yevanim, they decreed that whenever one would pass one of those rips, he would bow down 13 times. He would bow down. And thus it comes out that both Rabbi Yossi ben Yochanan and the Rabbanan are of the opinion that there were 13 Shachavois. According to Rabbi Yossi ben Yochanan, it's connected to 13 gates, there's 13 Sha'arim, and according to Rabbanan, it's connected to 13 rips that were patched up by the Chashmonai. And now the Gemara is going to explain this wondrous river that in the third base of Migdash will begin in the Kachim and will turn into a mighty river, as the Gemara will now explain. The Rash Cirillo tells us that the following Gemara is a composite of three different nevuos, that of Zechariah, Yecheskel, and Yeshaya. And in fact, these three nevuos complement one another. And through, as a composite of these three nevuos, our Gemara will quote from each of these Nevi'im, and together we will get a picture of exactly what will happen, Lost and Lavoi, at the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, concerning this little trickle from the Kodesh HaKadoshim that turns into a mighty river. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, in Zechariah, v'hoyu b'yom ahu, it will be at the time of the third Beis HaMikdash, Yetzu Mayim Chayim Yerushalayim. My live water will come out from Yerushalayim. Tani, we learned in a Braisa, this is similar to the River Von that we learned on the Mishnah, but there are some additions. We learned in a Braisa, Mibes Kodesh Kodashim, Ara Pereiches, that this little trickle of water will come out from the Kodesh Kodashim, and it will go till the Pereiches in front of the Kodesh Kodashim. How wide will the river be at that time? It will be merely kikarne sili v'chiliyi. Sili v'chiliyi are different types of snails, which have very tiny, thin antenna. Min pereiches ad mizbeach, and this is all learned out from Sukkim, from the pereiches until mizbeach azov, until the golden mizbeach, kikarne chagovim. The little trickle gets a little wider, and it becomes like the horns, the antenna of locust. Mimizbeach Hazov ad Azor is from the Mizbeach Hazov, continuing further, and we're going in the direction from west to east, going to the end of the Azoros. It will become as wide kichut shel shasi. It'll become as wide as the vertical threads on a garment, the warp. Min Azores, from the end of the Azores, ad Miftan Abayis, until the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, which was quoted in our Mishnah, that the water will go from the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, it will become as wide, kechut shel erev, like the one thread that crisscrosses over the vertical threads, the horizontal thread that crisscrosses over the vertical ones, and here it's wider, and that's called the woof. That is wider, the air thread is wider a little bit than the chassis. Mekan ve'elach, further than the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, kimipi hapach, it'll be as wide as the opening of a flask. So we see that this trickle is getting wider and wider, and in the next psukim that the Gemara quotes, it's even going to get wider still. The Meforshim explain that this river is a symbol of the Das Elokim, the Emunah in Hashem, the Torah that will emanate La'asad Lavoi from the Beis HaMikdash and specifically from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that it will begin as a little trickle, like the width of the antenna of a snail, and it will finally become a mighty river, as the Pasuk says, Umolo Horetz Deya Es Hashem Kamayim La'yam Mechasim, that there will be so much wisdom of Torah, so much wisdom of Hashem, Lasad Lavoi, that it will fill like the greatest oceans in the world. So now the Gemara is going to quote from a pasuk in the Nevuah of Yecheskel. At the end of Yecheskel, we find that he was shown what the Beis HaMikdash of Lasad Lavoi will look like. And the pasuk says, V'hinei mayim mefachim, the water will trickle, or as the Radak explains, that this Nevuah of Yechezkel takes over from where the Nevuah of Zechariah ended. So at the end of the Nevuah of Zechariah, we find that the water, which had started as a trickle, now has reached the width of the opening of a small flask. And now in Yechezkel, we find the small flask getting larger and larger. Vehine mayim efachim, that water that's trickling, that water that is as wide as a small flask, a pach, min hakesef hayimanis, from the right side of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beforshim explained that this means actually from the south side, which means it's right. The south side of the Beis HaMikdash is called Yamin. When a person has his back towards the parochas of the Kachi Kachim, if he has his back towards the Heichel, on his right side he will have the south side, on his left side will be the north side. Facing him will be the entrance into the Beis HaMikdash, the east side, because the Kach Kachim was on the west. The entrance to the Beis HaMikdash was on the east. So facing the eastern entrance with your back towards the Kach HaKadoshim, the south side is in fact on your right and the north is on your left. So that's what it says here, that from the south side this water as wide as a pach will flow out. Betseisha ish, when the man comes out, this man is a malach, and he will come out kodim towards the east. Vekav biyada, he will have a measuring stick in his hand. Vayimoid elef bama, he will measure 1,000 amas. Vayavireni, this man, this malach who is accompanying Yechezkel, he will pass me through mayim. How deep is that water? The trickle of water has now turned into a river, into a stream. May efsoyim, it's water that's ankle deep. Ad kirsula, it's up to one's ankles. Vayimad elef, he measured 1,000 with his measuring stick. Vavirei b'mayim, he passed me through the water. May birkayim, now it's already up to his knees. Ad birkayim, until the knees. Vayomad elef, he measured 1,000. Vavirei may masnayim, he passed me through water which had already gotten up to the loins. Ad masnayim, mikan ve'elach, then he measured further. Vayimad elef, he measured 1,000 amos. Now it had turned into a current of water. Nachal ashalay uchalaver, it was impossible to pass through the water. It was too deep, too wide and deep. Afila lebirnin gedoyla, even to large ships ani uchalaver boy. Even a large ship could not pass through this large current of water. And now instead of the word my time, the Mephorshim say we should put the word shenemar, because we find a pasuk, and here we bring in the third nevuah, pasuk from Yeshaya, v'tzi adar lo yavirenu, that a tzi adar, which means a strong boat could not pass through this water. Mipnei ma, why could it not pass through? Because ki go amayim mei sachu, because the water had swelled to such an extent that it was mei sachu. Ma mei sachu, what is meant by the term mei sachu? Miloshut, that it was impossible for anyone to swim through the water. Large boats could not get through, a swimmer could not get through as well. Amar Rav Huna said, Ba'asrin, in our locality, Korol Shaita Shchuna, similar to the word that we had, Mei Shachu, they used to call swimming Shchuna. That's how it was referred to. And now the Gemara quotes again from a pasuk in Yeshaya, referring to when Hashem will punish Edom, Yifresh Yadav Bekir, but he will spread out his hands inside of himself, Kasher Yifresh Hasocha, like the one who is ready, Hasocha Lischa, is like the person who is stretching out his hands, the swimmer who's stretching out his hands to swim. Ma'alishchais, what is that referring to? Amar Rav Yosef of Bun, Mayan, a stream of water, Dimismalalin ba'alma, it comes from the word speech, that everyone is talking about it, because this was a miraculous river that had started out the width of a antenna of a snail, and had now turned in such a current of water that large boats and swimmers could not pass through it. And this, of course, is a marshal for the Das Elikim that will spread throughout the world when Mashiach Tzakenu comes, Meher V'Yameinu. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, and this now is going back to the Navi Zechariah, by Yoimahu on that day, Yemikor Niftach, it will be an open source, based of it, Ulyoshri Yerushalayim, this rain, this water streaming from the Beis Hamikdash will be open to Beis Dovid and Yoshri Yerushalayim. Lechatos Ulanida will be able to be used for Mei Chatos, which is the water that is used to be Matar someone who has Tumas Meis, the water of the Por Aduma that's mixed with a live spring of water. So this water coming from the Beis Hamikdash will be able to be used for that, or for a woman to be Tovel if she has the Tumas Nida. Rab Shmuel by Nachman Vishay, Rab Yoinesen, he has a problem with this pasuk, because this water, why should it only be to Beis Dovid Yosher Yerushalayim? Anyone can use it. Therefore, he interprets it that it is only good for Chatos, Mei Chatos, and for Nida, Mi Beis Dovid Vaad Yosher Yerushalayim, Kshem L'Nida L'Chatos, because then it is spring water, and that's good for both using it for Nida and for Mei Chatos. But as it goes further, it mixes with rainwater. The rainwater now becomes the majority of the stream, so it is no longer good for Mei Chatos, which requires a live stream. It is only good for Mei Nida. And now it becomes Mei Taruvis, a mixture of spring water and rainwater. Mei Taruvis, Sherim L'Nida. A Nida could still use it. Upsum L'Mei Chatos. However, it's possible for Mei Chatos. Amar Rab Lazer. He is of the opinion that it's good both for Anita and Achatas. It is the water of slopes, because it's sloping down, the water is sloping down a sharp mountain. So Psulin Lanida Ulachatas. It's no longer good for Nida or Chatas. For Chatas, it's not good, as we said, it mixes with rainwater, which is not good for Mei Chatas. Why is it no longer good for Nida, who could use rainwater? The answer is, the Mephoreshim explained, because rainwater for Nida is good when it's a mikvah, when it's a enclosed area of standing water. However, there's a psul called Zeichlin. When a mikvah has Zeichlin, when it has running water, that's good for Mei Chatos. A stream that's running is good, but when it's in a mikvah and it's zoichlin, that's a psul, and therefore, since it's coming down this sharp slope, it is not stationary in one area, it's not a mikvah, rather it's zoichlin, and mimele it is pasul for Nida as well. Ksiv, the pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, Vayomer Eli, the Malach, the Ish said to Yecheskel, Hamayim ela, this water, Yoytzim el ha-Glila, ha-Kadmoyna, it's going out to the Glila ha-Kadmoyna. Where will this wondrous water go? To Glila ha-Kadmoyna. Zeh yam shel samchu. That's a yam that's called samchu, that is around Yerushalayim. V'yerdu al oravah, will go down to the oravah. What is that referring to? Zeh yam shel Tveria. Ubo ha-yama, zeh yam ha-melech. That's going to be the Dead Sea. Elayama Hamutsoyim, to the water that is enlarged, Zayama Godol, this refers to the Mediterranean. Velama Nikashmoy Mutsoyim, why is it called this water that has expanded itself? Because Keneged Shtei Pamim, there are two times in history where this water overflowed. Sheyotza, that it went out. Echad b'dor Enosh, one time in the time of the Dor Enosh, ve'echad b'dor Haflog, and one time to punish the Dor Haflog at the time of building the Migdal Bavel. Rabbi Lozer b'shem Rabbi Chanina says the following: Berishayna, in the time of Dor Enosh, the first time it expanded and overflowed, Yotza ad Kal Beria. It went out to a place called Kal Beria. Ubishniya, the second time, the Dora Floga, Yotza ad Kipe Bidabria, which refers to the Barbary coast. That's as far as the Mediterranean overflowed. Rav Acha b'shem Rav Chanina, he says, b'rishayna, in the Dor Anish, the first time it overflowed, yatzat kipi barbaria. It went out to the Barbary coast. U'vishni, the second time, yatzat Aku vad Yafo. It went out to Akko and Yafo in Eretz Yisrael. And how do we learn it? We learn it from the following pasuk, which is a pasuk in Iyov, ad poi tovay v'loy taisev. It'll come till here and it won't go any further. So we interchange the pei and a chaf, and we say that ad poi stands for ad akko tovay v'loy taisev. Upoi yashis begoin galecha. And here you will stay in the pride of your waves. What is that? You will remain here. What does that refer to? So we have upoi, that is like the word yafo. Ad yafo oshis goin galecha. Now the Gemara says, nicha, it is good. Why this water, this special water from the Beis HaMikdash will come, yama rabba v'yama demilcha. It will come to the Great Sea and the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. Vishvil lemiskan, it's going to fix them up. It's going to fix the make it sweet. But yama de tveria, yama de samchu, but those waters, the yam of tveria and the yam of samchu, why it's already sweet, why will it be necessary to come and attach itself to those ocean bodies, those areas of water? The answer is la rabbis to gossam. There, the purpose will be to increase the fish that are in it. That there will be fish in the different kinds of fish. Many, many different varieties of fish will be there as a result of this water attaching itself to those bodies of water. Tani, we learned in a brayso. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Maisa, there's a story. Shalachti letzayin, and I went to tzayin. Vevi ulufanei, and they brought to me yoyser mishalosh meyos minei dog, more than 300 different kinds of fish betamchu yechad in one plate. So we see that it was possible to be blessed with all these different varieties of fish. The pasuk continues speaking about this special water which emanated from the kachar kadashim v'nirpu amayim, that the water sweetened, it cured, and it sweetened. Bitsesov ugabov, it sweetened the swamps and the pools. Veloyir pool, it will not be sweetened. Lamelachnitnu, it's made for salt. So the Gemara sees in this pasuk an apparent contradiction. Ksiv, it says v'nirpu, it says that it will be sweetened hamayim. Va'at amrit, and you said veloyir pool. The pasuk concludes that it will not be sweetened hamayim. So the Gemara answers, Makom hu, there's a place, Ushmoy Veloyirpu. The name of the place is Veloyirpu. In other words, what the pasuk is saying is as follows. Venirpu amayim betzeis v'gabov. The swamps and the pools will become sweetened and cured. And now that place, so Veloy is not to add that the tzeisav and the gabov will not be sweetened. No, tzeisav and gabov goes to the beginning of the pasuk of venirpu amayim. But that place that is called Veloyirpu, that will be Lamelech Nitu, that will have salt, that one area will not be sweetened. Ksiv, the pasuk continues, and tells us that that pasuk of, that the river that was mentioned in the Navi Yecheskel, so now Yecheskel continues concerning that river, Valanachl Yala, Al Svasoi, it will go over its banks. Mizeo Mizeh, from this side and from that side, both sides of the river. Kol Eitz Machol, every edible fruit, Lo Yibol Aleu, the leaves will not shrivel up. V'lo Yitam Period, the Paris will not end. L'chadosh of Yevaker, it will have a new fruit every few months. Ni, we learned in a brayso. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lefisha b'olam hazeh, in the current world, tfuos l'shish chadashim, every 6 months there is a new grain that we can harvest. V'ilon, and a fruit, ois l'shnayim asur chodesh, has new fruit every 12 months. Aval asad lavoi, in the time of the third base of Mishnah, time of Mashiach, hatfuo ois l'chodesh echad. The tfuo will be able to be harvested after 1 month. V'ilon ois l'shnay chadashim, and the fruit tree will be able to give fruits every 2 months. My time, where do we see this written in the pasuk? That's from that pasuk that was quoted before, l'chadosh of Yevaker, that the fruit will be able to have a new crop of fruit, chadasha, of every 2 months. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says it goes even faster. Lafisha b'alamazeh, in the current situation, hatfuah yisro l'shish chadashim, the tfuah is harvested every 6 months. Ve'ilon yisro yud beis chadish, and a fruit tree takes double as long, it takes 12 months. Avalos l'lovi, hatfuah yisro l'tezvav yarn. The tfuah is going to be able to be harvested not in 1 month, but rather in 15 days. The Elon Isaac, and the Elon will take double, which will be 1 month, instead of what the Mandiyam before held would take 2 months. The Elon Isaac le Chodesh Echad. Elon will take double as long as Tfuah. Tfuah took 15 days, so the Elon will take 1 month. Shekema Sina, where do we find a precedent that there could be Tfuah harvested after 15 days? We found that by Pasuk in Yoyel. Shekema Sina Sheasa Tfuah Bimei Yoyel L'chamish Asa Yoyim, that the Tfuah in the days of Yoyel was done after 15 days. The Korvim and Oimer, they were able to be Makar of the Oimer. My time, where's the source of this? Because the Pasuk tells us in Yoyel, Ubnei Tzion Gilu V'simchu B'Hashem Alekeichem, be happy, rejoice in Hashem, the Bnei Tzion, Ki nasin lachem es hamayru letzdaka. He gave for you the rain for righteousness. Vayoyrid lachem geshem mayru malkish. All these different types of rains will come down. Barishon, and this was speaking about the first day of Nisan. They had no harvest. He said, plant the seeds, and 15 days later, you will already be able to be makrav the omer from this new crop. So we see it took a total of 15 days for the new harvest. The question is, it's difficult from the pasuk that we had before. Umam akam Rabbi Yossi l'chadosh of Yevaker, which would seem to indicate that it takes 2 months for it to harvest, and yet Rabbi Yossi is saying that it could harvest in 15 days. The answer is, b'chol chaydish v'chaydish yeh mevaker. Each of its, as the Meforshim here explain, the Takon Chadatim b'chol chaydish v'chaydish da'alma. It doesn't mean that it's going to take actually 2 months. But in its months, how much time will it actually take? In its various months, it will take only 15 days. As each month goes by, every 15 days you'll be able to harvest. And now we return to the Pasuk. V'aleyu letrufa. This was the Pasuk that we mentioned before from Yecheskel, the last two words of that Pasuk, where it tells us that the leaves will not shrivel and the fruit will not end. After one crop of fruit, another will come right away. The end of the pasuk says, "Valei l'trufa," and it means its leaves will be for curative purposes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar tarfeu mitzitz olea, that the trufa, the medicine, will come from someone who sucks the leaves, that a person will be able to have medicinal effect, curative effect, just from sucking the leaves without even eating the fruit. The teref mezoina, what is this referred to? Ravu Shmuel chad omer lahatir peh shalamayla, as Rashi Menachas explains, the word trufa, the Gemara is understanding here to mean lahatir peh. It's a short form, trufa is lahatir peh, that it will open the mouth. Which mouth will it open? So this fruit will be curative to open the mouth. Which one? The Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Chadom lahatir peh shel ma'alo. That will open up the mouth on top, which the Takon Chadon explains that a person will who doesn't have appetite to eat will get an appetite. The Chadom lahatir peh shel ma'aton, which the Takon Chadon explains for elimination purposes, a person who's having difficulty eliminating his food, the waste, so this will be curative, that it will open up his peh shel ma'aton, his peh, the lower peh. Reb Chanina of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chad Omer lahatir peh akorei, similar to what we had before, that one is lepeh lamala, one's lepeh lamato. So one of these mandiyamim say that this fruit will cause a medicinal effect to cure the pair of lamata that a woman who was unable to have children will now be able to have children. The Chad Omer in one says it's the pair lamala lahatir pair ilnim, that those people who are unfortunately mute, that they will now be able to speak with their pair lamala. This brings us to a conclusion of the sugya here, which describes the waters, the curative powers of this water, which emanated from the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, became a tremendous force, and we look forward to experiencing this from Harav Yomeinu Amen. Continues the Gemara to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ulumasim Betzofen, that just like there were four gates to the southern part of the Beis Hamikdash, opposite them there were four gates to the northern part. Ulumasim Betzofen, At Moitzi Bishar, Bishar, Sha'ol Nebuchadnezzar Lekan, when Nebuchadnezzar came to Yerushalayim, Bo v'yashvloi b'doifni shel Antuchia, he went and he sat by the wall of Antuchia. V'yatzah Sanhedrin g'dayla l'krasai, the Sanhedrin came out to meet him. V'amrloi, the Sanhedrin said to him, Higi azman abayis hazeh l'charev, are you here because you're telling me it's the time of the Beis Hamikdash to get destroyed? Amrlohen, so Nebuchadnezzar answered, Oysoi shimlachti aleichem, that person, Yehoyachon, who I appointed over you, I appointed him, as the Taklan Chalitin brings down here, that he should be in place of Yehoyakim, his father. He is the one that I want at this time. To new Lee, give him to me. Vani Hoylach, I'm going to go. I'm not going to destroy the base of Migdash yet. Bo va'omruli Yehoyakim, so the Sanhedrin came to Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda, and they told him, Nebuchadnezzar boylach, Nebuchadnezzar wants you. Kivin Shishama Mehen, Kach, when Yehoyakim heard this from them, he took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash, he went up to the rooftop of the Heichal. Amar lefanav, he said, Rabbeinu shel olam, l'sha'aver hayinu ne'emanim lach, in the past we were faithful to you, and your keys were given over to us, but now that you're coming to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, why? Because we have not been faithful to you. We have done averus. We're going to give you back your keys. Train amaroyim. There's a machlokas here between two amaroyim. Chadomer, one says zark, and he threw them up. And what happened? Ve'oid lo yardu. They have not yet come back, as the Taklan Chadon explains. Laharoy shemin hashemayim askim mazeh. This shows that Hashem agrees that it's time to give back the keys. The Chadomer, one says bo kimin yad. A something in the form of a hand came and not lost him, and they took it from his hands, as the Taklum Charetin explains, that like someone who asks for the keys back, you have a teenager who you don't trust their driving, you ask them to give back the keys. So the same thing the Rabbi Shlomo here says, I want the keys back, k'moy she'ein chafetz b'shimushoi, to indicate that he does not want these keys to be used. Give me the keys back. So the hand from Shemayim came and took those keys back. You cannot use the Beis HaMikdash anymore. Kivin Shero Kol Chayre Yehuda, once all the noblemen, and as we turn to Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, once all the noblemen of Yehuda came, they saw this, all of the Rosh Kinesan, they went up to the top of their Gagoy saying of their rooftops, v'naflu, they fell down, umesu, and they died. It seems they, in other words, they committed suicide, and it would seem that they did something wrong, because they were mavid ladas, they gave up their lives, they committed suicide. Hado dichsev, that is what the Navi Yeshaya tells us, masa gei chazoyan, there is a nevuah concerning the valley of vision, which refers to Yerushalayim. And why does it refer to Yerushalayim, as Mephoshim explained? Because either everyone looks towards Yerushalayim in the world, or most nevuos of the Nevi'im concerned Yerushalayim. So that's why it's called Gei Chazoyin. And the Navi says, Malucha Eifoi, what have you accomplished, Kalisa, Kulcha, Legagois? You have gone up to the rooftops, Teshuois, Malaya, Irhamiya, and you, this city of Yerushalayim that was full of commotion. And it was a tumultuous city full of life, and what have you done? You've gone up to the rooftop and you have committed suicide. Begins the next Mishnah, Halacha Gimel. Yud Gimel Shulchanos Hayu B'Migdash. There were 13 tables. We're using the number 13, just like there were 13 gates, according to Waman the Omer. There were 13 tables in the Migdash as well. Ches Shel Shais. There were 8 that were made out of marble. Where were they placed? B'Beis HaMitbachayim. They were in the butchering area of the Beis HaMikdash, which was outside of the Heichal and the Ulam, and they were in the, it was in the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash, opposite the Mizbeach. So these 8 tables were placed there, Shaleim, Adich, Mesakarbayim. There, the innards that were going to be nikrav on the Mizbeach were washed off. The Taklin Chadatin brings from his Rebbe, Lashon Rabbeinu Agoin, this refers to the Gra, that not only were they washed off, but also the skin was flayed off the animal, and also the meat was cut up at that place. So the Mishnah, though, is referring to something that happened very often, and that was that they used to wash off the meat as well. However, all these other activities took place also there, so that the carcass should not be lying on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. This would be a bezoyin to the kachim, and therefore they were placed on the table for all of these various activities to take place. So there were 8 tables there. Ubeis b'marav hakevesh. There were 2 tables that were to the west of the kevesh, the ramp that was going up to the Mizbeach. In other words, if a person was entering the Beis HaMikdash from east to west, he would come to the Mizbeach, Chachitzon, the outer Mizbeach, and past that, to the west of it, would be these 2 other tables. Echad Shel Shayish, one was made out of marble, Echad Shel Kesev, and one was made out of silver. Al Shel Shayish, Nois Nesevorim, on the marble one, they would put the pieces of the korban that were going to be nikrav on the mizbeach, va'al shel kesev, and on the silver one, klisharis, they would put a total of 93 kalim on the silver one. Ubeis b'ulam, there were 2 more as we're walking from east to west. After the mizbeach achitzain, we enter into the ulam. This was the antechamber that was in front of the heichal. So in that antechamber, mibifnim, inside of it, al pesach habayis, before the door that was going to enter into the heichal, where the shulchan and the menorah and the mizbeach hazov, the golden mizbeach, were, and before the kachin kachim. So this ulam was an antechamber in front of it. And in that antechamber, again, there were 2 tables. Echad Shel Shayish, one was for marble, Echad Shel Zov, one was for gold. Al Shel Shayish, on the one of marble, noisen lechem upon him, they would put the lechem upon him every week. They would bring fresh bread to be put on the shulchan inside the heichal, and the and before they went into the heichal, they would place the bread, the new lechem upon him, on the marble table, b'chnisase, as they entered, va'al shel zov, b'tziyase, they would put the bread that they were taking out, the old bread from last week, they would put it on the golden table as they exited from the heichal. And why did they have a golden table when they came out? Shemal and b'kodesh v'lemaridin. And this phrase actually also explains why they had a marble one. Really, there wasn't any necessity. They could have carried the lechem upon him straight in. They didn't have to put it down at a table. But as the Meforshim explained, the whole purpose of the marble table outside in the ulam was to indicate that you're going into the heichal, where you're going to have the lechem upon him placed on the shulchan, which was made out of gold. So in order to teach us the principle of mal and b'kodesh, that one always has to go higher and higher in kedusha, v'loy maridin, and not go down, so we start off outside in the ulam, putting the lechem upon him on the marble table, and then mal and b'kodesh, we go in and we put it on the shulchan, which was made out of gold, and we're going higher in kedusha from marble to gold. Now when we exit, there's no higher that we can go. We're up to gold already, so therefore the table that was in the ulam when we exited the heichal, that also had to be made out of gold, because we couldn't make it out of silver or marble, because then we would be going down in kedusha. So it at least had to be on the same level as the one inside, which was made out of gold. Echad, the final one of the 13, was Echad Shelzov. One was made out of gold, which we just discussed, Bifnim, inside the Heichel. She'ol of Lechem Aponim Tamed, on it was always placed, constantly was always placed, the Lechem Aponim. So if we add these all up, we have 8 in the place, the butchering place, the Beis Mitbachayim, another 2 right next to the Kevesh, that is a total of 10. Then we have the 2 that were in the Ulam, is at 12, and we have the Shulchan, which is 13. Tani, we learned in a Braisa. Al Shel Kesef, that one that we said that was in the Ulam, which we said in our Mishnah was made out of Shash, was made out of marble. We learned in a Braisa that really was made out of Kesef, out of silver. And there was still Mal Mekoydish, because you're going from silver to gold. As the Mephoshim here explained, so there was still Mal Mekoydish. We're going to skip the words in parentheses. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Shmuel bar Yitzchak, or some say it was Chaninim Matibo b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Less kan shel kesef. There are 2 girsas here. We will begin with the girsa which we have in our Gemara, which is the girsa of the Korban Eida. Less kan shel kesef. No, we disagree. What you just said in the Brisa shel kesef, in our Mishnah we don't have shel kesef. We have shel shayish. And why don't we have Shel Kesef, says the Gemara of Neishu Marsiach? Because we're taught elsewhere that gold or silver, which made out of metal, can cause meat to become spoiled because they retain heat. We need a cool place for the meat. So before it's put on the Mizbeach, we have to make sure that the meat does not spoil, and therefore we're looking for a cool surface. What provides a cool surface? The marble. That's why one of the tables was made out of marble. The Gemara on this, according to the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, asks the question, Loi kentani, but didn't we learn the following? Ze echad min anisim shenasim b'beis hamigdash, one of the nisim in the Beis Hamigdash was, shekeshem shehoyim anichim oisoy choyim, kachoyim etzim oisoy choyim, that just like they put in the lechem upon him at the beginning of the wheat hot, so when they took it out at the end of the week, a week later, it was also hot. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Losum lechem cham b'yomi lachay," to put hot bread there on the shulchan, just like the day that it's taken after a week back from the shulchan. It's just as piping hot as it was when you placed it there. So the Gemara is trying to ask the kasha. The kasha is, why do you tell me that the brisa of silver is not correct? The correct girsa is the way we have it in our Mishnah, that it was made out of marble. And why do you have to have it out of marble? Because if you have it out of silver, it's going to cause the meat to get spoiled. But why would the meat get spoiled? We're speaking here about the marble one that was in... I may have said before, the one that was near the Mizbeach, we're speaking about the marble one that was outside in the Ulam upon which the Lechem Aponim was put. So our Mishnah says that it was marble. We learned in a Braisa it was silver. And the Gemara wants to know why did it have to be marble and not silver when it used to come out piping hot anyway? It's not going to spoil. So the answer, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omar, Ein maskirin maisa nisim, which the Mephoshim explained means Ein soim chanal anes. You're right. There was a nest that took place anyway, but we have to do whatever is in our power to do. In our power, we put the lechem upon him on the marble table so that it doesn't spoil. Al pi derech hateva. You're right, there's going to be a nes anyway. But ain't soim chanal des. We have to do whatever we can to make sure that it doesn't naturally spoil. This is the way we have the gears according to the Korban Eida, and the way it's found in our Gemara here. However, the Taklun Charetin and the Gra, they have a different girsa. And their girsa is less kan not shel kesef, but rather less kan shel shayish mivneishu mekarer. What did it say in the Tani? the beginning of our Gemara, which both Girsas have the same. Tani al shel kesef. We learned in a Braisa that the table that was in front of the Heichel upon which they put the Lechem upon him was not marble, it was silver. And according to the Girsa of the Taklin Charetin, we say that that Braisa's Girsa is correct. It was shel kesef. And the Girsa now is Leskan shall shayish. It was silver and not marble. Why? Why couldn't it have been marble? Neshu makar, because we know that marble makes something cool off. And we have to have the bread hot. On this, the Gemara's kasha now is loy kentni ze'echad min anisim, that it remained hot. So why can't you have? Why do we say that the Girsa of the Braisa is silver? Why isn't our Mishnah correct that it is marble? And what are you worried about, that it's going to get cold? But there's a nest taking place that it stays hot. So why can't I have it of marble like our Mishnah says? And we don't care if it's going to, that naturally will be cold, because the nest will cause it to be hot anyway. On that, the Gemara answers, Ein maskir maisa nisim, Ein soimchen ala nes, that we have to do whatever we can. And since naturally it's going to get cooled off, we have to put it on silver in order that it naturally shouldn't cool off. Although in a chanami, there's a nest that it's going to remain piping hot anyway. So these are the two girsas of the korbanet and takum charetin. The maskana of either way is that ain't soimchen al hanes. Continues the Gemara. Boyan, they had a question. Kumi Rabbi Elah, in front of Rabbi Elah, lo yahayasham lechemahu. What happens if there was no lechem upon a bread there? Mahu la nichol shabbos. Oh, can you leave it in this state until the next Shabbos? So the Korban Eidah explains two ways that, of this Shiloh. One way is, what happens if there was no new bread? For some reason they weren't able to have new bread to replace the old bread. So, and then in the middle of the week they finally made some new bread. What should they do? Should they leave the Mizbeach empty without lechem upon him, or should they put the new bread there, which will be pasul bread? Because the only bread that's kosher is bread that remains on the lechem upon him over the duration of an entire week. And here this will only be, have been there a few days and not an entire week. So it's better, is it better to have an empty shulchan, or is it better to have a shulchan which has pasul bread? According to the second shot of the Korban Eidah, the question is, I don't have any bread ready. I have a choice. Should I remove the old bread and thereby cause the shulchan to be empty, or should I let the old bread remain, even though there'll be a psolina, because after Shabbos it's already supposed to be taken off on Shabbos, and therefore to have it remain there during the week will be a psolina. What should I do? What is it better to do? Not nothing, or to have something that's posel there? Amar loin, so he said to them, Siv, it says, when sato ala shulchan lechem ponim lefonai tamid, lechem ponim afil apostle. So according to either pshat of the korbanet that we said before, it's better to have either new apostle bread or the old apostle bread. That is better than having no bread there at all. Continues the Gemara, Asara shulchanos asa shloima. There were 10 tables that Shloima did, besides the one of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shloima also made 10 shulchanos in the Beis Hamikdash. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, "Vayah shulchanos asar." He made 10 tables, vayonach behechol, and he left them in the hechol. Chamish, he placed them in the hechol. Chamishim yamin, there were 5 from the right side. The hay mismoil, and there were 5 from the left side. And now the Gemara says where these 10 were placed. Ein tamer, don't say that it means chamisha bedor, that 5 were on the right side, as we explained before. If your back is towards the Ulam and the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKodashim, and you're facing the eastern entrance, then to your right is Smoil, is to your right is Dorom, and to your left is Tzafon. So don't say that when the pasuk says there were 5 to the right and 5 to the left, it means Chamisha Bedorim, 5 on the south side of the Beis Hamikdash, Vehei B'Tzafon, and 5 on the north side in the Heichel. V'haloi ein ha-shulchan kosher ala b'tzofen. The table is only good if it's on the north side. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, as ha-shulchan titnat tzel tzofen. You should put the shulchan on the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash. Ma tamal lo mechamisha mimin mechamisha b'smol. What does it mean there were five on the north and five on the right and five on the left? El ha-chamisha mimin shulchan ishal ma'ish mechamisha b'smolay. They were all on the northern side, all 10 tables. And the Shulchan of Moshe, the 11th table, was in the middle. And on the right side of the Shulchan of Moshe, there were five. And on the left side of the Shulchan of Moshe, there were five. But all 11 tables were on the northern side. In other words, the tables were in a row from east to west. Afal Pikein. Which table did you put the lechem upon him? Loi hayu mesader al mishal Moshe mulvad. The Tanakhama holds that you only put the lechem upon him on Moshe's table alone. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, es hashulchan asher olav lechem upon him. Rashi Menachas learns it from the shulchan, which is singular, and the Rashirillo learns it from the word olav, which is singular. Either way, it's teaching you that there's only one table which you are allowed to put the lechem upon him on. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Aimer, Al Kulan Oyem Esader. Actually, you could choose whichever one you want. You could put it on all 11 tables. Shenemar, Es HaShulchanos, the Shulchanos, Va'aleyem Lechem Aponim. So here it says clearly, B'lashon Rabim, both the Shulchan is Rabim, Shulchanos, Olav is Barabim. Here it says Aleyem. So you could put the Lechem Aponim on whatever table you choose. The Meforshim point out that even according to the first Shita, that it could only be put on the table of Moshe, the Shulchan of Moshe. However, all the tables had to be roi that the Lechem Aponim could be placed on them. If there was some problem, as we will see in the next piece of Gemara, why it couldn't be put on some shulchanes, that would actually puzzle the Shulchan. Tani, we learned in a brisa, Mizrach u'Maariv hayu nesunim, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe's of the opinion that this row of tables was put from east to west in along the length of the Azara, in front of the Ulam and the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in that area near to the Beis Mitzvachayim, which was also in that northern, a northwestern part of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where this row of tables were put, but they were all on the north side. Rab Lozav, Rab Shimon Oimer, Tzafim V'Darim Hayin Asunim. No, he disagrees. He says they were put from north to south. The Gemara asked the following question. Man Diyomer Mizrachu Marv Nich, according to the Man Diyomer that they were placed, even if they were placed in a row, and the length of the Beis HaMikdash was 40 amis. There were 40 amis, in other words, in front, the entire length was 60 amis. However, in front of the peroches, there were 40 amis from the peroches until the eastern entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. So if all the tables were put, all 10 tables were put lengthwise, one touching the other, they would come out to 20 amis from the peroches, another 20 amis towards the eastern part of the heichal so then it's good. Gemara says nicha, that works out very well. I made a mistake before. I think I said that the shulchanos were near the Beis Mitzvachayim. That's not correct. The Beis Mitzvachayim were outside where the Mizbeach HaChitzon was. And we are speaking about the Heichal. So it was not where the Beis Mitzvachayim was. I stand corrected. It was in the Heichal. And the Gemara is saying that it was placed in a row from east to west on the northern side of the Heichal. Then it works out very well. Kula Ruyin L'Shiris. So even according to the Mandiyomer, which we had before, that only the one of Moshe was used, but you are fulfilling the requirement that all should potentially be available for usage. Because if they're not able to be used, even potentially, they would be puzzled. So according to the Mandiyomer, Mizrachu Ma'ariv, good, nicha. But Mandiyomer Tzafim V'Darim, but according to the Mandiyomer that says that it was placed from north to south, and if you say they were placed in a row, how long were they? 2 amas. How wide was the Heichal? 20 Amos. If you put 10 tables in one row of two, and each table is 2 Amos long, you have 20 Amos. So first of all, it's a problem that 20 Amos of tables can't fit into 20 Amos of space. You need a little, which isn't a problem if you say it went along the length. But if you say it went along the width, then you're going to have that problem. How does it fit in? And besides that, the Gemara's main question over here is, Man diyomer tzofen v'dorim, nimtze shulchan v'dorim. It comes out that you're going to have tables in the southern side. And we know, as we said the pasuk before, that it has to be, v'sa shulchan titen atzel atzofen, that the table has to be on the northern side. And even those tables that you're not using have to potentially be also able to bring the lechem aponim on it, and the lechem aponim cannot be brought on a table that's in the southern side. So how could those five tables be good? And if those five tables are good, then all 10 tables are no good. So what's going on here? How does this work? The Gemara here blimes by Akashi. The Gemara, the Taklan Chadatim points out that the Bavli also asked this very question. And this is in Menachos. The Bavli in Daf Tzadik Ches and Tzadik Tes in Menachos asked this kasha and other kashas. And as a result, the Bavli comes to the conclusion it wasn't put in a row. You're going to have to say it was on the northern side of the Heichal, next to the Shulchan of Moshe, not placed in a row. If it's not placed in a straight row, then even if it goes from Tzofen V'dorim, but it ended at half, at 10 Amos, at half of the width of the Heichal, it did not protrude into the southern part of the Heichal. That's where the Gemara's conclusion is. Here the Gemara remains by Akasha. The Taklan Charetan explains that the Derech of the Yerushalmi is that since the Halacha is like Rebbe Mechaveriv, so in this machloik is whether it was placed from east to west or north to south, we go like Rebbe Keneged Reb Lozav Reb Shimon. So and secondly, the Mishnah in Menachos also tells us that the Kalim were all put lengthwise and not widthwise, so therefore we paskin like Rebbe. So the Yerushalmi doesn't bother to try to answer the other shita, which we don't paskin like anyway. The Bavli explains that shita, even if the halacha is like Rebbe, still the Bavli wants to try to understand the shita of Reb Lozer Reb Shimon. However, the Yerushalmi makes it short and to the point that since we paskin like Rebbe anyway, we're going to ask a kasha on Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, and we're not even going to bother to try to answer it at all. And Mirtzah Shem, this sugya will continue in tomorrow's daf, which will be daf yudches in Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach. Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach.